Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Running. Hello, America. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here, the second hour of the program. Delighted to have you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Operator standing by now, except you just can't call. You know, I hate to do this to you because I got stuff I want to talk about, but this needs to be said actually out of the gate. We have people who call the program and will literally stay on hold for 3 hours, and I never get to them. I know it's hard for you guys to anticipate what I'm talking about. If you subscribe to the show notes, it helps. And this isn't a push for you to subscribe to the show notes at all. It's just this. I got a list of things I want to talk about. Some days, like today, it took me a while to figure out exactly what I was going to talk about. But I got a list. My call screener has the list of things I want to talk about. If I want to talk about X, Y, and Z, and you call in and want to talk about A, B, and C, I'm probably not going to get to you today. And instead of arguing with the call screener and thinking it's your right to get on the program, go get your own radio show, because this is the Eric Erickson Show. It's not your show. Now, most of you understand that. I'm flabbergasted by the number of people who think they are entitled to get on my radio program to talk about something I don't want to talk about. And I don't mean this to be a jerk. I should say I'm saying it lovingly, but really, if it's 2 hours and 30 minutes in and I haven't gone to you, the odds are I'm not getting to you because you're probably talking about something I don't want to talk about. And the number of people who call and harass my call screener and think they have a right to get on the program or they chew him out, do not chew out my call screener. Because you know what happens on my end? I'll see there's a call on hold and it'll say next to it, do not take this phone call. Why? Because you've made him mad. You're supposed to treat him better than you treat me, frankly. Otherwise, you're not getting on the show. Just need to do a reset here. Got a lot of new listeners. Yeah, I'm talking about topics. If you want to call in about something I'm talking about or have talked about in the previous hour, I'll probably take your call. If you can anticipate what I'm talking about in the next hour without knowing, I might take your call when I get to it. But when you're calling in and you want to talk about radishes and I'm talking about rashes, well, you know what? Radishes are not rashes, and I'm not taking your phone call. Now, I want to talk about me. Not really. I wrote about something yesterday. I have a piece at National Review, wrote about it yesterday. The headline is, "The Conservative Movement is Defending Free Markets from Both Sides." For decades, the Republican coalition sat united atop the so-called three-legged stool of fiscal conservatism, traditional values, and a peace-through-strength foreign policy. All of these priorities helped to combat the spread of communism and to create and maintain prosperity at home. But since the collapse of the Soviet Union, some on the right have questioned these orthodoxies as new challenges have arisen, such as the rising cost of living and the breakdown of many communities as the economy evolves. Some degree of discussion and even reprioritization about what the right's agenda should be today is necessary and welcome. But when such thinking fails to heed the lessons of the failure of economic central planning and instead jettisons conservatism's longstanding commitment to free markets and limited government, it should be vigorously challenged. Thankfully, new efforts within the conservative movement are doing precisely that, ensuring that Republicans remain committed to free markets and have the policies to address America's most pressing problems in the 21st century. Now, what I find interesting is the pushback, including some from the Heritage Foundation, over this piece. In fact, Kevin Roberts, great guy, the president of the Heritage Foundation, really, really respect him. His chief of staff, though, came after me on Twitter over this, calling me a defender of establishment conservatism. Like, seriously, dude, you worked for AFP, and now you work on Massachusetts Avenue for the most prestigious establishment think tank on the right, and you're calling me a guy in Macon, Georgia? The establishment? Really? Look in the mirror, dude. And the angst of some, and by the way, I just have to note this. It is all young men who are upset about me defending the free market. Some of them couch it as, well, we need to prioritize families over the free market. I don't disagree. The conservative movement needs a family-friendly policy, but you know what's family-friendly? Letting them deal with the markets and the free market as opposed to having government command and control. Who, by the way, folks, just let me just let's do a thought experiment here. Who do you think is going to get a better solution for your family? You navigating an arm's length transaction with someone else, or the government dictating terms for you? Well, who do you think is going to arrive at a better solution for your family? You dealing with it, or the government dealing with it for you? Who do you think is going to arrive at the better solution? The free market has elevated more people out of poverty than government control. What I find, and again, I think it's really notable, it's all young men, similarly situated haircuts. The level of groupthink of these young men, yeah, they all have, what do you call it, fades on the side, high. It's a group of young men in Washington, D.C., who have finally decided the old people are out of the way and we're going to rethink things, as opposed to having some humility to understand that maybe those who came before you actually had the right idea. We're going to rethink the free market. No, there's no reason to rethink the free market. We need to get back to the free market. And what I've noticed in the conversations with all these young men who are insistent we need to elevate families instead of conversations about the free market, is what they're trying to do is say that they have the ideas to benefit families, many of them childless, I might add, in ways that the free market doesn't. The whole thing about the free market is it allows individuals through arm's length transactions to arrive at the best solution for themselves, because your idea of what's best for you is different from your neighbor's idea of what's best for him, is different from his neighbor's idea of what's best for him, and all of them in arm's length transactions can compromise into solutions. It's also notable many of these young men abhor the idea of compromise. So we want a one-size-fits-all government solution from Washington, D.C. I don't disagree with some of the critiques, and what I find interesting is a lot of them read criticisms into a piece where I would actually find large agreement with, including the fact that I don't think the government needs to be funding the education apparatus. In fact, I've been saying for weeks now, instead of cutting off aid to Ukraine, we should be cutting off aid to college campuses. But there's something else that's come up in the criticisms, too, that I find really, really, really notable. And it's that a lot of these young guys, and again, it's really important to note, it is mostly young men. What I find really notable is that they've confused party and ideology. So many of the criticisms are, well, conservatism didn't give us this, or conservatism gave us that. And it's like, no, George Bush did that. Some of these young men, and again, young men who weren't around when I was around when George Bush became president, will forget Fred Barnes authoring a piece. He used to be at the Weekly Standard. Fred Barnes authored a piece in the Weekly Standard defending the Bush administration as big government conservatism. And I, a young man then in my early 30s, wrote a piece calling BS on Fred Barnes, saying then as I say now, notice my consistency over the years, there's no such thing as big government conservatism. Conservatism is premised on limited government, because as you limit government, you expand freedom and opportunity for others through the free market to negotiate for themselves their freedoms and liberties. You can't have a big government conservative, because as government rises, freedom reduces. But that was the spin of the time. I am the guy who did the interview with Rush Limbaugh in 2005 after Bush's reelection, where Rush Limbaugh said George W. Bush was a very nice man and a very good president, but he was not a conservative. And it made headlines at the time. I was the guy who did the interview. And Rush was then right. Absolutely. George W. Bush wasn't a conservative. He was a Republican. And what I'm finding is, this goes back to a point I've made years ago, Bill Clinton was the worst thing to happen to the conservative movement. What do I mean by that? Bill Clinton destroyed the Democratic Party in the 1990s. So many Democrats in the South and Midwest became Republicans because they abhorred being in a party with a man of that lack of self-control and bad character. They became Republicans. And suddenly the conservative movement, which used to work across the aisle in Washington and build coalitions between Republicans and Democrats, they never had to reach out across the aisle. They could spend all of their time in the Republican Party and forming ideas within the Republican Party, and they lost the skill set to persuade. That's why you see so many of these young men in Washington and the conservative movement just yelling online now. Conservatives, by losing the need to reach out across the aisle, became consumed with the Republican Party, and the Republican Party and the conservative movement began to look as one. And a lot of the criticisms of this piece I wrote are from people who believe that the party and the ideas are the same thing, and they're not. In fact, one of the things I see, and it's a danger sign, I think, from Heritage and other groups out there in Washington right now, is so aligning themselves with one political party and one man in particular, Donald Trump, who, by the way, is not an ideologue at all. He's in it for himself, and maybe you can control him and give him ideas, but you're wrapping your ideas around one man or one party. You're identifying them so much, and so the ideas rise and fall with the party. So, for example, the number of people, I saw some dude, I forget, he called himself like in the Austrian Economics School or something, clearly a weirdo. He said that conservatism has given us transgenderism. No, definitely not. Not conservative in any way, shape, and form, and no one in the conservative movement advocates for it. And he says conservatism has given us $35 trillion in national debt. No, Republicans and Democrats did that. Had they followed conservative ideals, they would have never done it. And in fact, when they did listen to conservatives in 2013, we got sequestration, which was the first real-world cut in government, not just future growth of government, that we've seen since the ballot budget days of the late 90s. Also, something authored by conservatives and sold to the Republican Party. Conservatives aren't flawless people, but one of the geniuses of conservatism is we recognize men are inherently bad. We have an accurate view of humanity. That's why the free market is better than government control and industrial policy set by Washington, D.C. What's so crazy to me right now is a lot of the young men in Washington who are upset about this piece, if you follow their social media history, they have massive tirades against the elite in Washington, D.C. And yet somehow they think their elite positions are going to be better than the elite positions of the left, that somehow their experts are better than the left's experts, as opposed to let's just let the free market decide. I agree with the criticisms that we need to elevate family in terms of conservative policy. I don't disagree, and neither does my piece. But for those who say that we need to, like, forget about the free market, stop defending the free market for the sake of defending the free market, I'm not defending the free market for the sake of defending the free market. I'm defending the free market because history has shown arm's length transactions in a free marketplace are the best way for families to decide for themselves what's best for them instead of a government elite. I find it richly ironic that the people at Heritage and elsewhere who have an issue with this piece are calling me a member of the conservative establishment. They're at the Heritage Foundation, for God's sakes. People want to abandon long-held conservative ideas. That's fine with me. Just stop calling yourself conservative. You're a progressive on the right. You're a populist on the right. Conservative principles, every time they're tried in this country, have worked successfully to rein in government. And by the way, if you actually get Congress to embrace these ideas again and start cutting and gutting government, it becomes hard for the left to get those powers back because Congress has acted. So maybe instead of bellyaching about me defending the free market when it's really noticeable that you all ignored every other issue, maybe stop trying to align yourself with a political movement and get back to selling ideas that work. As much as I have been accused in the last 24 hours of worshiping at the altar of the idol of the free market, a lot of these guys are idol worshipers themselves, and they don't want to admit it. And they're idol worshiping power for the sake of power, not ideas for the sake of ideas. And I beg to differ with them on power for the sake of power, because if you can get power, you can lose power. But if you hold on to an idea that's tried and true and works, you don't ever have to give that up.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. None of you asked for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because you keep hearing the news about that. What, we've got the 11-year cicadas and the 16-year cicadas and the 70. It's like all the cicadas have hatched at once. I want you to know there are dead, there are cicada shells all over my side porch. They're everywhere. But people outside the South and the Mid-Atlantic are like, what does this sound like? So I stood in my yard this morning. You'll hear bird chirping, but you're going to hear this sound in the background. It's just kind of this high pitched. It sounds like a pool pump almost at a high pitch. Let me rearrange my audio here so you can hear this. And just it's this background hum. Hear that hum in the background behind the birds, that constant noise? That's the cicadas. And now you're saying, well, that doesn't sound so bad. No, no. It doesn't sound so bad except for the fact that it is sun up to sundown every day. Every single day. If you go outside, the noise never stops. You sit outside, you're trying to enjoy the afternoon. Literally, the noise does not stop. It is a nonstop high-pitched drone that doesn't go away, and it's going to last for months. In addition to it lasting for months, the copperheads love the cicadas. So you have to be extra mindful when you're walking in the woods because copperheads are out there trying to eat the cicadas. They usually come out at night. Instead, they're coming out in the day to try to get the cicadas. It's just, y'all, it is wild kingdom outside, but like with a music bed underneath. It's just crazy. All right. In 15 seconds or less, you could have the answer to any computer question you need on how to use your computer if you use Vision Computers. You call them at 404-COMPUTE or you go to visioncomputers.com and you say you want to do business with them. $179 per computer for a year. This is not a monthly fee. This is an annual fee. You can use Vision Computers and your employees or yourself. You can call them and get the answer to your question. So you don't know how to do something on your computer. How do I save a file? I've saved a file. I can't find it. It's not working right. My email has problems. My printer has problems. 15 seconds or less, you get the answer from Vision Computers faster than Google search. They have thousands of five-star reviews. They can also build you computers, and they're going to save you money in building your computers. And if they build the computer, their tech support comes with the computer. But if you didn't go to Vision for your computer, you still can use Vision services, and your employees or yourself, y'all can be proficient on what you need to be proficient with, and let Vision be proficient with your computers. 404-COMPUTE, tell them I sent you, you get an even better deal. 404-COMPUTE, any one of you nationwide, give them a call.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, because the truth is what matters. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello, friends. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I am happy to have you. This just happened. Let me bring you the video. I got the audio. This is our poor president of the United States, too old and addled with dementia. Well, he read the prompting signs off the teleprompter instead of just reading the speech. Where'd this go?
Imagine what we can do next. 4 more years. Pause.
4 more years.
Four more years. Pause. This remember, so way back in the day, George H.W. Bush was president of the United States, and he was given a speech, and the teleprompter notes had included message, I care. That's what he was trying to convey, was that he cared, because the Clinton campaign says he just didn't really care about the middle class. Nice guy, but he was aloof, in Washington too long, and he no longer cared. And so the teleprompter says, message, I care. And Bush read it, message, I care. And he wasn't supposed to read that portion of it. Well, Joe Biden says, 4 more years, pause. Oh, and this comes on the heel of Biden yesterday. Now the Republicans are really, where? Let me see if I can find this. I know the RNC research account had it. Yeah, so we did the 4 more years. Where is this? Oh, come on. I had it. Oh, now I can't find it. So Biden said in his speech that essentially that Donald Trump has shown you can't trust the Democrats. He's not wrong on that, but literally he says that Donald Trump reminds us that you can't trust the Democrats, and he's not actually wrong about that. And yet this so much fodder here, and the RNC research that they throw a lot of videos and stuff of Biden's silly comments up. It's actually very, very funny. Yeah, here's the one.
In a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
Oh, poor Joe. He's having these moments there. This is why, by the way, Joe Biden is not able to forcefully get out there and denounce anti-Semitism. Because, I mean, the last time they got him out there, he started talking about his Uncle Bosie getting eaten by cannibals in Papua New Guinea, and it just wasn't true. Here he is trying to read pre-written remarks on a teleprompter.
Most significant investments in climate ever. The work that you risked your life doing, lots of it.
Poor Joe. Y'all, this is the man the Democrats have decided is going to beat Donald Trump. He's out there saying he wants to punch Trump.
Think about the guys you grew up with. You'd like to get into the corner and just give him a straight left. I'm not suggesting we hit the president.
All right, let's go to the phones. Michael, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Eric, and it's such an honor to be on your show, and I love listening to you. We just need more people like you telling the truth on these radio waves.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely, and what a perfect follow-up to what I'm going to say after what you just played. What I happen to notice, and no one's talking about this, but if you notice, like after the primaries, President Trump was out there and, you know, sending his message like always and just hitting people from every angle he could hit them from. And I even heard something about Joe Biden, you know, oh, here we go again. You know, he's going to be campaigning from the basement. He was quiet. You didn't hear anything. But it seems to me, and I just want your opinion on this, right after this bogus trial started in New York, and we all know that this judge has him on lockdown, that he can't really go anywhere and campaign like he would normally do. Now, Joe Biden is out campaigning everywhere and talking to everyone about everything that we know. A lot of it is not true, and it's just really rubs people the wrong way. The American people don't need to hear other things than what he's saying. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Look, it's kind of interesting that clearly the being in your basement works in terms of campaigns, because now that Joe Biden is out there campaigning and continues to make mistakes on the campaign trail, his polling goes down. Donald Trump being stuck in a courtroom, unable to campaign, his polling's going up as people don't hear from him as much. Maybe there's something to be said about just running from your front porch. The problem here is not so much, and it goes to your point, it's not that Joe Biden is out there campaigning, it's what he's saying. And it comes across as deranged and kind of out of touch, and it doesn't make any sense what he's saying. By the way, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but Joe Biden has announced today he wants to raise everybody's taxes, skyrocket capital gains taxes. And he says that it would be only for people with $1 million in the bank. The problem with him saying that is that a lot of people in their 50s who have been investing in their 401ks, it would target them. And anytime your mutual funds and financial advisor sold the money, you would get a massive 44% tax. Genuinely, it is absurd. And he wants to let all the Trump tax breaks expire, including the ones that help the middle class. It's a massive tax hike on people. Massive, massive tax hike on people. It's the Biden team should probably shelter Joe Biden, but at this point you can't, because Joe Biden is the president of the United States. He's got to be out there. Meanwhile, on the other side, you've got the institutional pressures about Donald Trump. Stephen A. Smith, not really a big fan of his sports commentary. He was on Sean Hannity's show the other day, and he made a comment on Sean Hannity's show about people in the black community. They see the government being put upon by Donald Trump. They see the government going after Donald Trump through any means necessary, trying to drive him to bankruptcy, trying to throw him in jail, and it has benefited him to some degree through a level of sympathy in the non-white community, particularly in the black community. And he's not wrong, by the way. A lot of polling actually shows this, that there are a lot of people who have become sympathetic to Donald Trump in the non-white community because they have always perceived the government being out to get them. They see the government being out to get Donald Trump, and actually that's driven some people to him just out of sympathy for him. It's actually a true statement, and it comes up in the polling. And Stephen A. Smith was talking about this, and my gosh, people have lit him on fire. Progressive commentators, Keith Olbermann calling for him to be stripped of his position at ESPN. He had to come out and apologize. I want you to listen to this. I wish you could see the video. I mean, you almost can see him blinking SOS and saying this. Listen to this, though.
I wanted to touch on something that I made news about just a few days ago. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Accountability is where everything needs to begin in this world. It's something I say quite often. I certainly never hesitate to hold folks accountable when mistakes or mishaps occur, so I'm certainly not about to run from it myself. I'm fully aware that I've been in the news over the last few days, paraded all over social media as well, after comments I made during my appearance on Fox News' Hannity last week with the one and only Sean Hannity himself. And I'm fully aware of the outcry that has ensued because of it. A lot of folks in Black America seem pretty pissed at me right now, from friends and loved ones to colleagues, contemporaries, and dare I say, even the NAACP itself. Quite a few folks were put off, if not flat out offended, after my words were interpreted as associating support for Trump from the black community with all the legal issues he's facing. For that, I sincerely apologize.
Wow. He's got to apologize for a true statement. His own statement, his own opinion, because the left has come for him. You know, this is becoming more and more of a thing. I mean, I get this on this program, that if you say anything that defends Donald Trump puts an accurate perspective on things he said. They come after you. I'm in this weird position where, you know, I criticize both sides. I'm a conservative who's willing to hold my own side accountable. I'm greatly willing to hold the Democrats accountable or criticize them. Well, if you say anything about Trump, oh, why are you defending him? Don't you know he's a threat to democracy? Actually, I think you guys are also a threat to democracy, if not more so. Y'all are the ones who want to try to take people off the ballot through bureaucrats instead of letting people vote. Oh, why are you saying that? It's no one's allowed to have a nuance. No one's allowed to have an opinion unless it's the correct opinion, and they will bully you. And what's so notable to me is that a guy like Stephen A. Smith, he justifies his opinions by being someone on the left. He gets protection for his opinions, for his ability to say things, because he's on the left. And so he doesn't cause agitation to white progressives on the left at ESPN. He's allowed to be there and say these things. Jemele Hill is not a smart person, but she's a black supposed sports commentator who says all the things white progressives like to hear. So they give her a pass on being a blithering idiot because she makes them feel good about themselves. And Stephen A. Smith crossed the line by daring to suggest some level of sympathy in the black community for Donald Trump. Therefore, he must apologize to continue to be protected by the white progressives. I am more and more mindful, the older I get, that white progressives are uniquely racist. White progressives genuinely believe that you are in a class. You're not an individual. You're in a tribal group based on your race, your class, your sexual orientation, you name it. And if you say anything that white progressives perceive defies that class of people you're in, you're a traitor to your class, and you must either apologize or be shamed and shunned and exiled. It is a level of groupthink with disciplinary action backing it. It's remarkable to behold, and Stephen A. Smith having to apologize for daring to utter something that came across as favorable to Donald Trump. And he was willing to do it instead of holding to his guns. Remarkable. Now, let's go to the phones. Taylor, you're going to be up next. Welcome.
Hey, so you know what? You said something yesterday about the Jewish community and how it's interesting that it seems like the only schools that are safe in is the SEC schools. And it got me thinking, really, the whole woke left side has really turned their back on the Jewish community, because you would always usually kind of associate them with being kind of more on the left. But now they're finding out themselves that they're kind of getting thrown away for the whole other side with what's going on in the war. And I just thought it was very interesting that kind of, you know, that they would be able to throw a whole community away just over, you know, extreme thinking.
Yeah, and you know, I find it very notable, Taylor, if you listen to some of the commentary, like on CNN yesterday, there's this big argument between Jonah Goldberg and this woman on CNN. And the woman's like, there were Jewish students protesting Israel. There were Jewish students. Well, yeah, because there actually are a number of ethnically Jewish people in this country who don't view themselves really as Jewish per se. They're Americans, and they're on the left, and they're allies to the left. Hiding behind that, look, there are black people who defend Donald Trump, and they get shunned and excoriated by the left, and yet they're willing to stand up for it. It's just people could be judged as individuals, except for the fact that these Jewish students, including the Jewish students who are there protesting Israel, they're the ones most likely to be spat on, the most likely to be shoved, abused, manipulated, harassed. And increasingly, what a lot of Jews in this country are realizing is that though they may not be sympathetic to Netanyahu, they may not be Zionists per se, that they may not care one whit about Israel, it just happens to be their ethnicity, they too are being targeted. And when the left is so aggressively anti-Semitic, claiming it's anti-Zionism, but in fact it's actually they just hate Jewish people, it's a big wake-up call for Jewish Americans that something is not right on the progressive side of the aisle. And they may abhor the right, they may not like Donald Trump, but they still want some level of safety. And that means they're probably going to move to the right or stay home, which is just as bad for the Democrats in a close election. Swiss America knows that you want to stay home and be able to bank. You don't want to have to go deal with the bank. You want to just have a great banking relationship with a good bank that's not going to cancel you because they don't like your politics. They are a great bank. I use Swiss America. I've got a checking account and I got a savings account with them. And they want you to do business with them. All you have to do is go to SwissAmerica.com. Oh, wait, no. Brain fart, isn't it? I'm seeing Swiss America on my, but I'm telling you about Old Glory Bank. Y'all, it's been a day. So let me tell you about Old Glory Bank here, because they're the bank that I use. I have a checking account and I have a savings account with them. And Old Glory Bank, if you go to Old Glory Bank, you can set up an account with them. In 8 minutes or less, you can get an account with Old Glory Bank, and y'all can have no fees on your checking account, no fees on your savings account, and they are not going to cancel you because of your business. In fact, right now, they're developing a new ownership interest model for Old Glory Bank, sorry. And if you go to own.oldglorybank.com, you can invest in Old Glory Bank, accredited investors only. It's not FDIC insured. Your investment may go up or down in value. You can also get a bank account with oldglorybank.com. Y'all will love it. Oldglorybank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply. I'll tell you about Swiss America later.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Yeah, cooking. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. I think I can squeeze Bob's call in here real quick. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. Appreciate what you do all the time. Hey, I saw something on the online the other day that was news to me. I understand it's been around a while, but it is Electoral College question dealing with the several a group of liberal states that have compacted together whereby they'll cast their electoral votes to whoever wins the popular vote, a presidential election. And the last time this particular source said that they're 75% on the way to getting all the votes they need, all the states combined to get the votes they need to swing an election simply by compacting together to vote the popular vote.
Yeah, so listen, I think this lasts until the moment a Republican gets the popular vote, which can happen. They're looking at 2016 and Trump not winning the popular vote and still winning the Electoral College. That's why they want to do it. If Trump gets the popular vote and they're all forced to go with that, this will kill that effort. It is a way to try to rig the system, but it only is really working in states where Democrats are already going to win the Electoral College anyway. So I don't actually think it's going to wind up being super impactful. What is impactful is Omaha Steaks' new subscription pack that you can get. You get free burgers for life when you do this as well. When you get a subscription, they put in free burgers every single time you get a subscription. You build your own box, whatever you want. Now, they have some samples, and the samples are all great. Don't forget, folks, you can get not just the steaks. It's not just steaks and chicken and seafood and all. They have already prepared main courses and sides and desserts, and you can add those to your subscription as well. You set it up for your delivery schedule, what you want. You can cancel or pause it at any time without penalty. Every third box, you get a free gift valued at $19.99 or more. OmahaSteaks.com/Eric is where you go. OmahaSteaks.com/Eric. Minimum order required. You build your box. You put in it what you want. Main courses, sides, desserts, steaks, seafood, chicken, the great pork chops, the sausages. You get free burgers every time the box comes. It's great. OmahaSteaks.com/Eric. Go sign up, save, and get eaten today.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.